Now, that promo didn't play the whole clip that we have of Woody Allen with Marshall McLuhan actually coming in at the end. So we're going to play that. The Global Village, The Medium is the Message, Hot Media and Cool Media. Famed media theorist Marshall McLuhan would have been 100 years old today, and his analysis of how the media shapes us as people has proved incredibly prescient more than 30 years after his death. McLuhan was also a very public intellectual whose reach extended into popular culture, such as this cameo in the Woody Allen movie Annie Hall.
And the funny part of it is, Marshall McLuhan, you don't know anything about Marshall McLuhan's
work. Really? Really? I happen to teach a class at Columbia called TV, Media, and Culture. So I think that my insights into Mr. McLuhan, well, have a great deal of validity.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny, because I happen to have Mr. McLuhan right here. Come over here a second.
I heard what you were saying. You know nothing of my work. You mean my whole fallacy is wrong. How you ever got to teach a course in anything is totally amazing.
Ha. Luckily, we have a guest who does know quite a bit about Marshall McLuhan's work and how it applies to today's world. He is Paul Levinson, professor of communication and media studies at Fordham University and author of Digital McLuhan, A Guide to the Information Millennium. Paul Levinson, welcome to WNYC and thanks.
Hey, my pleasure to be here, Brian. By the way, I got the same treatment from McLuhan when I sent him a copy of my doctoral dissertation back in the late 1970s, went away on vacation for a couple of weeks, came back, found this great message on my answering machine saying, "Hi, Paul, it's Marshall. I've read the dissertation. It's very good, but you completely misunderstand me about being a media determinist," and, you know, went on to point out all the things I got wrong about him.
He taught at Fordham, too, didn't he?
He did, and that's why it's significant that the professor in the Woody Allen clip was from Columbia University. Neither Woody Allen nor McLuhan ever would have put the professor at Fordham University, because that's where I teach, and we know McLuhan pretty well.
So what did he mean to you that he is a media determinist?
Well, a media determinist is someone who thinks you can explain what's going on in the world by looking at the dominant medium of communication at the time. So, for example, in the Kennedy-Nixon debates in 1960, those who heard the debates on radio thought Nixon did better. Those who saw the debates on television thought JFK was far better. He looked much better. Nixon looked like the kind of guy you'd never buy a used car from. And so, in a very palpable sense, the medium of television helped determine the results of that election. And actually, that's what McLuhan said, but he didn't like the term determinism because he thought that made him too much of a strict logic boy, as he liked to put it. He liked to be more open and flexible with his analyses.
So here's another McLuhan clip. This from a 1960 interview with the CBC in Canada.
The media are at the heart of our life because the media work through our senses. And print is a medium. It changed our sense makeup from what it had been in the Middle Ages. And now certainly these other media will do the same. They, the photograph, movies, radio, TV, all these change at once the way in which we see or hear or touch or feel ourselves and our world. A slight change in one of our five senses alters the ratio among the best. People suddenly begin to want and appreciate different things. They begin to think differently.
So that addresses one of his most famous concepts, right? The medium is the message.
Absolutely. And even more than that, that our encounters with media are the complete antithesis of casual one-night stands. When we watch television, when we listen to the radio, when we talk on the phone, when we read a book, now when we go online and tweet and go onto Facebook, this literally changes who we are because it affects the ratio of our senses, as McLuhan put it. It either strengthens our vision or it strengthens heightens our sense of hearing, or it arouses our tactile sense. McLuhan thought, for example, that when we watch television, even though it's just a medium of sight and sound, it evokes our sense of touch precisely because we can't reach out and touch the person on the other side of the screen.
Huh, because you can't reach out and touch, it evokes that sense.
Exactly right. And this is why sometimes McLuhan is so hard to understand. You know, he'll say, well, television is a tactile medium, and, you know, the lazy, not very bright professor will say, well, what is he talking about? That's nonsense. There's no sense of touch in television. But if you read McLuhan further, he explains that it's often what the medium doesn't do but evokes from us, that is the most significant impact of the medium.
We asked our Facebook fans, if the medium is the message, what is Facebook telling us? And one answer we got from Amy on Facebook says, the modern world makes people lonely, but is lacking in ways for people to build real community. So we sit on Facebook and search for old college and high school friends. Think Marshall McLuhan would agree with that?
Only partially, and I can tell you what I think of it, being well-versed in McLuhan. There are plenty of opportunities for real face-to-face interaction. And, for example, Foursquare, which is a Facebook, Twitter-like medium, actually has people checking in from where they are physically, in a restaurant, in a store, through their mobile phones. So it's not true that in today's world we don't have any real physical encounters. But it is the case that we can use media like Facebook to get back in touch with old friends. I got in touch with an old friend of mine, Joel Iskowitz, who's turned out to be a famous illustrator. His designs are on the back of coins. On Facebook about a year ago, it was the first time we'd been in touch literally since the late 1950s.
Any guess at what McLuhan might say about how Twitter affects the ratio of our senses?
Well, one of the things I pointed out in my 2009 book, New Media, because I'd written Digital McLuhan before Twitter, which came around in 2006, is that if you look at the glosses or the chapter titles in McLuhan's book, The Gutenberg Galaxy, 1962, they are, in fact, tweets. They're the exact same length. They're almost all around 140 characters. For example, the new electronic interdependence recreates the world in the image of a global village, that would be a perfect tweet. So I think when McLuhan, were he to look at Twitter today, were he still alive, he would say, this is exactly what I was doing back in 1962.
The promo that we're using, one of the promos to promote the 100th birthday special that we're airing tonight at 8, says that Marshall McLuhan in effect predicted the internet 30 years before what we think of as the modern internet. Would you say that he did that?
Yes, but it's important to bear in mind, and this I did talk about in Digital McLuhan, which was published in 1999, and I realized pretty much in the early 1990s that as the internet was emerging, that this is what McLuhan predicted. But it's not as if he looked into a crystal ball and said, someday there'll be an internet. It's more the case that McLuhan had such a profound and accurate understanding of human communication that he knew that sooner or later there would be an internet, because he understood that human beings want again what they don't have. And actually, I developed this into my own theory of anthropotropic media evolution. Media evolved towards more human function. So it's not enough that we have television and radio and newspapers. We want our news immediately, when we want it. We want to be in touch with our friends. We want to tell people what we're doing. We want to find out what other people are doing. We want all this at a speed faster than the speed of light. We want it at the speed of our own minds and imagination. McLuhan understood that, and therefore it was unsurprising that when he was talking about what electronic media would do, he in effect described the internet.
Is it fair to say that McLuhan liked radio better than television, or thought it was better for society because of how people reacted to it? And how do you think he would critique the constructiveness or destructiveness of digital media today?
McLuhan was always careful to say, I explore, I don't explain, I don't make judgments. It's not about what I like or dislike about media. And he enjoyed assessing and analyzing the impact of media without being too apocalyptic or praiseworthy. That said, like any other human being, he grew up in the 1920s, 1930s, when radio was in its heyday. And I think he did have a special love for radio. But he was very interested in television as well. And I think that McLuhan would be thrilled with what was going on today in the digital age, because it has opened up such a wide array of media. One of the things I mentioned in Digital McLuhan is that you can consider the internet the medium of media, because what you get on the internet is this very radio show if somebody wants to live stream it or listen to it later as a podcast. Mm-hmm. You get television shows, you get newspapers, you get photographs, you get books. All prime media are available through the internet, and I think that's something that McLuhan would have been very comfortable with, because in terms of the human sensorium that he was talking about, the internet is almost like the human brain, since all of these media feed into the internet and through the internet.
Paul Levinson teaches media at Fordham and is the author of Digital McLuhan, A Guide to the Information Millennium. Today is Marshall McLuhan's 100th birthday, and if we have just whet your appetite, then you'll want to tune in tonight at 8 on 93.9, when we'll be airing a special Marshall McLuhan at 100, and also Sarah Fischko's piece on McLuhan will air during this week's episode of On the Media over the weekend. There's a link to all of WNYC's Marshall McLuhan coverage on our website, WNYC.org. And Paul Levinson, again, thanks a lot for coming on. Really interesting.
Hey, my pleasure, Brian. Anytime.
Talk to you tomorrow, folks. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Tomorrow, among other things, we will ask, how hot is it?